telling the Bible to love what it is.
Mark chapter 16. When the New Testament church, at the time of our Lord, when the New Testament church first began, and the Lord sent out His disciples to preach the gospel, He gave them some amazing gifts. He equipped them with some amazing abilities. They could actually perform miracles. And He did this so that people would know and believe that they were sent of God. That's why He did this. Mark chapter 16, look at verse 9. It says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, our Lord rose on a Sunday morning." I believe He's coming back on a Sunday morning. It says, "He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believed not." His own disciples, they didn't believe. Verse 12 says, "After that He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country on the road to Emmaus. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them." His own disciples. Much less the unbelieving world. So verse 14 says, "Afterward He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." These will be the signs that they will see that's going to cause them to believe what you're saying. "In My name shall they cast out devils." And that really happened. My reference says it happened in Acts chapter 5, Acts 8, Acts 16, Acts 19. Paul and Peter, they really did cast out devils. It says they shall speak with new tongues. And that really did happen. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. The apostles started preaching in languages they'd never heard before, never learned before. Real languages. And that gift is still given. I thought about, whenever I read that, I thought about Brother Bill Clark. And then after that, I thought, hey, Janine's going to be here. And then I thought, Evelyn's going to be here. How many languages could he speak? Two languages. Preach the gospel. Three languages. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. "They shall take up serpents." And that really did happen. Paul was gathering sticks for a fire, and he reached for a stick and a viper bit him. A venomous viper. And they knew it was a deadly snake, deadly bite. They didn't have an ER. They said, "He's a dead man. Let's just sit and watch him die." Nothing ever happened to him. Never got sick. Nothing. It says, "If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." After Paul was bitten by that snake, and nothing happened to him, he went in unto a man who was sick, and he healed him. It really did happen. So the Lord gave them these gifts to prove that they were sent of God. The New Testament Scriptures had not been written yet. They were being lived out. That's why. They were living them out. Now we have the Scripture. We have the record of these things that God did. And those gifts are no longer needed. That's why we do not have those gifts anymore. People are handling snakes in country churches and they don't need to be doing that. The Lord tells us now, the way you'll know if a messenger is of God is if he preaches to you this word that I have written. These events that I have written. Christ in the Word. Christ who is the Word. If he preaches the Word. All right, now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12, in verses 28 to 30, Paul speaks to the church, to believers, and that's to us if we believe this gospel. He speaks concerning these gifts that were given. And he's saying, don't be taken up with the gift. Verse 28 says, God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. He says, are all apostles? No, they're not. So being an apostle is not an evidence of being a believer. It's not a requirement to be a believer. Are all teachers? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? All workers of miracles? No, they're not. These are not evidences of being a believer. We don't need to speak in tongues to evidence being a believer. Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, they don't. Brother Cody Groover is a wonderful interpreter. A man can speak in English and he's seamlessly translating into Spanish, interpreting for the people. That's a gift given to him, but it's not an evidence of being a believer. So Paul says in verse 31, covet earnestly the best gifts. These are wonderful gifts that have been given to different men for the glory of God and for the good of His people, but covet earnestly the best gifts. There are some gifts that are given to every one of His people. And He calls them the best gifts. He calls them charity, and He's going to tell us their importance in chapter 13. This is our text. These are the gifts. The first one is Christ. Every single believer has been given Christ. He is the best gift. And the second one is His love. Christ and His love. The love of Christ to a sinner. Love for Christ. Not just love for religion and not just love for heaven. Love for Christ and love for His people is a gift of God. It is not possible with man by nature. It has to be given from God. It's a grace of God. Grace means gift. Paul says it's the best gift. I want to quote word for word Brother Henry. He said, however poor I may be in gifts, I can't do this and I can't do this and I can't do this. He wrote, John the Baptist did no miracles. Not one. However poor I may be in gifts, I can be rich in this grace. If God has given me this grace. The grace of love. The gift of love. This is not an exhortation only. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. It's vital. It's so vital. Without this grace, every other gift is useless. If we don't have love, every other gift we have is completely useless. Without this grace, a person cannot be a child of God. Without Christ and His love, a person cannot be a child of God. Paul writes in chapter 13, verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels." He said, though I could speak and preach in every language known to man, even the language of angels. He said in 2 Corinthians about himself, he said, I knew a man about 14 years ago. And he was caught up into the third heaven. And he said, I heard things that is not lawful. It's physically not possible for a man's mouth to say. He said, if I could speak and preach in the language of angels, but I don't have Christ and His love, he said, it's just noise. It's just noise. Just vain words. He said, it doesn't matter what I can do if I don't have Christ. It's lip service. That's all it is. It's lip service. Verse 2, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy, prediction. Some men throughout history have been given the ability to predict things. And some of them have been right. He says, though I understand all mysteries. Men today are taken with this mystery of prophecy. Last week I was in Cottageville. And I got to the church Sunday morning, and three of the members were already there. And walked in and put my Bible down and was doing a few things. And two visitors came in. A man who was 60 maybe and his wife. And I didn't know they were visitors at first. I just thought maybe I hadn't seen them for some reason. But when I came back into the auditorium, he was talking to one of the members there. And the member introduced me and said he's going to be preaching here today. And the guy was asking if they had a statement of faith. He said, I want to see your statement of faith. And he said, well, we don't have anything printed up per se, but he said, we preach the gospel. We preach Christ in the Word. And then he looked at me and he said, here's what I need to know. He was more or less saying, if I'm going to sit here, this is what I need to know. He said, where do you stand on Daniel's 70 weeks? I said, I don't know anything about that. Nothing. And he said, well, then how do you feel about some ism I'd never heard of? I said, I don't know anything about that. And he said, well, what do you think about some ology I've never heard of? I said, I don't know anything about that. He said, well, what do you believe? I said, every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what I believe. I said, we believe Scriptures alone, Christ alone. And he said, well, what do you believe about this? And I said, you know, all we do here, I said, the Lord said, search the Scriptures. They are they which testify of me. I said, all we do here is we start in Genesis and we go to Revelation, searching the Scriptures, looking for Christ. That's all we do. We just try to see if we can see Christ in the Scripture and point men to Christ. And that's it. He said, well, don't you think it's important to teach people about something I've never heard of? I said, I don't know anything about that. And he stayed for the first service and then they left. After the first service, men are taken with prophecy and prediction. Taken with it. Paul says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Though I have all knowledge, not just knowledge of physical things, knowledge of spiritual things. Knowing how God saves a sinner cannot save a sinner. Knowing how God saves a sinner cannot save a sinner. A head knowledge of how God saves a sinner cannot save a sinner. You know the only thing that can save a sinner? Christ and His love. Well, don't you mean Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Yes, I do. That is exactly what I mean. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, greater love hath no man than this. Then He laid down His life for His friend. Why did He die for us? Love is the answer. Love. We say it's all unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Why would God create us in the first place? Clothe us after we sinned? He didn't have to do that. Show us our only hope of redemption. Become flesh and dwell among us. Die on the cross for our sins. Raise us together with Him. Go back to His Father and prepare a place for us. Call us unto Himself and dwell with us forever. Love is the answer. Love is why He did that. Paul says in verse 3, though I outwardly follow His example, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, though I work to establish my own righteousness, though my zeal is so strong, I'm martyred for my cause. If I don't have Christ and His love, love for Him and love for His people, he says, it's going to profit me nothing. Nothing. If I have Christ and His love, I have everything. If I do not have Christ and His love, no matter what I have nothing. No matter who I am nothing. And no matter what I do, it is nothing. Christ is everything. I must have Christ. I must. If I do, if a person has Christ, if the love of God has been shed abroad in a person's heart, and if a person has been predestinated to be conformed into His image, as He is, so will they be. If He resides in them, if love is in them, then that's what they'll produce. Love. How is He? If we are like He is, how is He? What is He like? Verse 4 says, Christ in His love suffereth long. Suffereth long. How long did He suffer? He left glory, heaven itself, for 33 years. How long did He suffer on the tree? Till the end. All the way to the end. The long suffering of the Lord is our salvation. If we ever get a hold of that, we want to be just like Him. If we ever understand what He did for us, we'll want to be just like Him. Verse 4 says, our Lord is kind. He's kind. I entered into that for one fraction of a second when I studied it. And I don't know if we'll enter into it right now. But one day, if the Lord chose us and if He redeemed us, He's going to allow us to walk and talk with Him face to face. We're going to get to be with Him face to face and touch Him, talk to Him, ask Him. And the thing that every single one of His people is going to fall in love with is just how kind He is. He is so kind. Our Lord is so kind. I want to be just like Him. Our Lord is kind. Our Lord did not have to put up with our sin for one second. Gone. Our Lord is kind. He's so kind. I'm not like Him. But the Scripture says, one day I shall be. By His grace, one day we will be. While I'm on this earth, with all the ability He will give, with all that He will allow, I want to try to be. I really do. I speak from my heart on that. Oh, wretched man that I am. And the things that I do, I wish I didn't do them. And the things that I want to do, I don't do them. But I wish I did. I want to be kind. For Christ's sake. He's been so kind to me. Verse 4 says, Christ in His love envieth not. God the Father has given to God the Son all things, everything. And He's made us joint heirs with Him. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He earned it, and we didn't. He deserved it, and we don't. But we get everything He gets. And what's love's example? No envy. No jealousy. He willingly gave us everything. No envy. Verse 4 says, the love of God vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. There's no pride. It's not proud. It's the exact opposite. Our Lord proved His love by humbling Himself more than any man. That is what the love of God produces in a sinner. Humility. Verse 5 says, the love of God doth not behave itself unseemly, improperly, uncharacteristically. If I love Hannah, would it be in character for me to ignore her and not show up for 3 or 4 days? No, that's out of character. It's not how love behaves. The character of the love of God, verse 5 says, seeketh not her own. Our Lord said, I seek not mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Turn over to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 24 says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That is what the love of God produced. Everything that our Lord did on this earth was not for His wealth. Though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. True love seeketh not her own. Verse 5 says, is not easily provoked. How often do we provoke our Lord? Provoke means offend. How often do we offend our Lord? Thanks be to God, He's not easily provoked. 85 times it said provoke or provoked or provokest or provoketh or provoking in the Scripture. He's not easily provoked. He's kind. May we learn from our Lord. Not be easily offended. How can we be not easily offended? Verse 5 says, think no evil. Our simple minds allow us to think the worst. What did you say? Why did you say that? What did you mean by that? Thanks be to God, He said, I know my thoughts toward you. They're thoughts of peace. Think no evil. That encourages me to want to do the same. Want to do the same. Verse 6 says, the love of God rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Ezekiel, just listen to this. Ezekiel 33, verse 11 says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. No pleasure. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He rejoiceth not in iniquity, and neither should we. Neither should we. He said, confess your faults and cover one another's. Verse 7 says, the love of God beareth, believeth, hopeth, and endureth. Love for God, the love of God, will cause a person to bear every trial that comes as though it's of God. This is of God. It beareth. He said, you will bear them. They will come. But He said, I won't put more on you than you're able to bear. Beareth all things. That's good news. Christ and His love in a person beareth all things. Considering all He bore for us, He bore our griefs, He carried our sorrows. That causes us to say, what can we bear for each other? This is an active, working, producing love. Christ in us produces love, true love. Love believeth, it says, every word of God. Believeth the best in each other. Love hopeth all things in Christ. Love hopes for the salvation of others. Not just me. All men. I would that all men were saved. Love endureth to the end. Continues in the faith. Still here. If we're still here, it's Christ in us that keeps us here. If we have the love of God, we will never fall out of love with each other. Never. It's an everlasting love. Verse 8 says, Christ and His love never faileth. Great is His faithfulness. If we endure to the end, it's because He shall not fail. Verse 8 says, where there be prophecies, they're going to fail. Once a prophecy is fulfilled, it's no longer a prophecy. It says, where there be tongues, they shall fail. I believe everyone in glory speaks one language. It's the tongue of angels, which is the tongue of Christ. One language. Verse 8 says, where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, why would it say that? Because it says down in verse 12, then shall I know even as I'm known. The knowledge we have now, verse 9 says, we know in part, we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I'm known. Back in Franklin, Tennessee, where I moved here from, they have, it's a big Civil War history town. They have a lot of old houses there that were key in the Civil War, and you can tour these houses. And we would take people to see the houses, and we went often as people came and visited. And some of the windows in the house, they have multiple panes of glass, and some of those panes of glass were original to the house. Some were replaced. And the original ones were wavy, and they had bubbles in them. And then next to it would be a new pane of glass. And when you look out of the old pane of glass, you could see, and I knew what was out there. There was a cedar tree in the yard, and I did it every time I went. I'd look through there, and I could see that cedar tree, and I knew that it was a cedar tree. Not just a tree, a cedar tree. But everything, the lines were fuzzy. I could see the grass. It was one lone tree, and see the sky, but it was just fuzzy. I knew what everything was. But I just couldn't see the whole clear picture. Now we see through a glass darkly. And one of these days, that glass is going to be taken away. And we're going to see clear, face to face, Him as He is. We're going to see His love as it is. Well, verse 13 says, "Now abideth in a believer faith, hope, and charity." Christ, His love. It says, "But the greatest of these is charity. Faith is a gift of God. Hope is a gift of God. Christ is the gift of God. Faith will give way to sight. One day we will see Him as He is. Hope will give way to possession. No more need to hope. We will have Him. His love is never going to end. Never going to end. The love I have for my two children is stronger today than the day they were born. It grows. It's never going to end. It's going to continue to grow." And there are many reasons why it's the greatest. It's God-like. That's the greatest. We want to be like Him. It's the greatest because He said all the law and the prophets hang on two commandments. Love the Lord thy God and your neighbor as yourself. And it's the chief evidence of Christ in a person. Let's close with John 13. John chapter 13. Verse 35, the Lord said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Really, that's the chief evidence that Christ dwells in us. We have love one to another. If we do, it's a gift of God. Not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. I pray the Lord will bless that.